We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yep, David is off with his first love, and that is the United States Army, and you are stuck with me. It is 10 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and welcome to the show. And since many of you are just getting out of work, and I do hope you had a good day on the job today, whatever it is you happen to do for a living, if you're on hold, I beg your indulgence. Actually, you know what? Let me take the people on hold before I do the sound, because I did promise people that I would not keep them on hold interminably. Here, let me just give you the quick background. With the impeachment hearings in the background, what is your prediction for the future of the United States of America? Will there ever be a reconciliation? Or are we going to break apart into a bunch of different autonomous republic? Are we going to become like the 21st century version of the Greek city-state of way back when? Lincoln, quoting the Bible, said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." And I see too many issues that are unnegotiable, that are non-negotiable and uncompromisable. I don't know if that's a word. If it isn't, I just made it up, which makes me a neologist. But I believe that there are too many issues on which we are uncompromisable. And, you know, part of me thinks that maybe an amicable divorce would be the way to go, because I'd rather see an amicable divorce than anybody getting hurt. Because our last Civil War wasn't a lot of fun, and I sure don't want to be alive for another one. And when you have two sides that are so divided on so many issues, and this transcends all of the Federalist squabbles and the stuff between Adams and Jefferson at the beginning of our republic, this is serious stuff. And adding to that is, frankly, the poison of social media. I enjoy social media for some things. In other ways, I think it's one of the worst things that's ever happened to humanity. But let's get back to the calls. Here's Roy in Boston. You're on WBEN.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Sir.
They want to get rid of Trump because he is a roadblock to Agenda 21. That is a UN program.
Right.
And I don't know how familiar you are. How familiar you are with the program, but
anyone can look it up online. United Nations Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm. Well, they want to cut the amount of goods and services you can buy and use, control the size of your family, equal rights for all living and non-living objects, humans, animals, plants, rocks, and rivers, government control of fishery and farm harvest. Elimination of private property, open borders, mass migration, obviously loss of national independence and personal freedoms. The list goes on and on. And he is a roadblock to that. He realizes what's going on, and they want to get rid of him.
Well, yeah, I mean, to put it in a simpler way, without even going to Agenda 21, in a simpler way, Donald Trump and his representation of America as a sovereign nation is a roadblock to the globalists, and the globalists do not like roadblocks.
Well, you know, this is nothing new. This globalistic one-world government goes back a long ways, and the first definitive work ever written about that was Proofs of a Conspiracy by John Robison, and that was published in 1798.
Wow.
So, you know, this is nothing new, and there's a lot of organizations that are implementing that. You know, Trump is not a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, Brookings Institute. He does not attend the Bilderberger conferences where they plan all this stuff. And it just goes on and on, and people aren't recognizing this.
Okay, let's just simplify it. There's the government that we think we have, and there is the government that really exists.
Yes, the deep state.
Whether you call it the deep state or the clerical state is immaterial, but I think what has happened to Donald Trump is exhibit A in what you are saying. I am well aware that to people who think inside of a certain box, who are unwilling to consider alternatives to that certain box, what you are saying, and with what I am partially agreeing, may sound tinfoil hat kind of like a tinfoil hat kind of perspective. I don't think it is. I would have thought it was 10 years ago. I no longer believe it's tinfoil hat nonsense.
Well, I'm the type of person that I will read, research, and investigate. And I've been looking into this one little government idea for probably about four decades now. And here's the whole crux of the matter. An individual who is capable of reading and does not has no advantage over someone who does not read. Therefore, you can control that person.
Hey, everything I know about the world, I get off of YouTube, pal. I'm glad you called in, Roy. Appreciate it.
Yeah. You have a good day.
I will. Thank you. Already off to a wonderful start. Here is Jeff in Williamsville. Jeff, thanks for holding. You're on WBEN.
How you doing today?
Yes, sir. Living the dream, living at large.
I'm the guy you talked to last week that still can't watch Hannity or Tucker on YouTube.
I'm sorry. They didn't get that resolved, huh?
Yeah, still can't watch it. What I wanted to say is...
Damn Bilderbergers.
Yeah. This election coming up in 2020 is probably going to be the most pivotal election in American history. For the mere fact that, you know, as long as we got George Soros around and Antifa, if Trump gets reelected, it's going to cross that line right there. You know, I think Antifa is going to go crazy. There's going to be rioting in the streets. But if a Democrat gets elected, it's going to be kumbaya. Everyone's going to be happy and joyous. But I think you're truly, I think there is no reconciliation here. I mean, the country is severely divided. I mean, in one sense, you know, you see they want to legalize marijuana everywhere. But in 2021, LA's, you know, banning the sale of all tobacco products.
Right. And they say they want to legalize weed at the same time as they're going after big vape. With lawsuits. They're trying to put Juul out of business.
Right. And then they want to legalize prostitution.
Yeah, all right. You know, one out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, yeah. But as I said, when this election comes around, if Trump does win, there's going to be riot in the streets. Far worse than it was in 2016. And I don't think there is any way of mending this divide.
I don't remember rioting in the streets in 2016 after Trump won the election. I do remember Trump supporters being attacked for daring to go to his rallies.
Well, remember when he won the election, there were people that were voicing their disdain with him being elected president of the United States.
I don't know if you were listening to our election night coverage, but and we pointed this out, but the looks on the faces of the anchors at the various networks were as if their dog and their firstborn and their parents had all just died at the same time.
I stayed up till 2:30 that night watching NBC, CNBC.
They were bilious and practically lachrymose, which is a fancy way of saying they were really PO'd and about to cry.
And even with Obama, I didn't like Obama. Just the mere fact that the other day he commented that how the Democrats are going so far left, even he's seeing the concern here. I mean, it's a problem. It's just a problem. I mean, there's no way, you know.
Well, the question is it going to be a self-adjusting problem if the Democrats nominate a socialist or a pseudo-socialist and that person is soundly defeated by Donald Trump? Will the Democrat Party then realign itself with middle American values, or will the Democrat Party face its own schism?
No, I don't think they're going to realign. As far as I'm concerned, I think of one Democrat that could probably run against Trump that might stand a chance, and that would be Joe Manchin, because he's moderate. He's a well-liked guy. Trump actually likes the guy, but he's a midline Democrat that if he actually ran for president, he might stand a chance because he's not as extreme as all these other Democrats.
You see, I'm a gambler, but I don't take anything for chance. I do not assume that Donald Trump is going to be reelected to the presidency, especially now because there are too many variables that can change, like the economy, like the stock market.
I don't know. I'll be calling you in friggin' 359 days. I think it's going to be a landslide.
And you may be right, but it's an eternity away on the political calendar. I do thank you very much for the call. I mean, one can hope. And let's go to. Are you sure this is the correct name? You didn't misspell anything, Phil. Let's go to Nanvi on a car phone. On WBEN. Is it Nancy? Nancy? Yeah. You're on WBEN. It's Bowerly and the dyslexic with you.
All right. So I just have two quick points. Today I caught a little bit of the impeachment hearing, and I believe it was Jim Jordan that was talking about how divided our country is right now. And you know, for a while I voted for Trump, but a lot of people around me don't like him and said, look at how much he's divided the country. But I realized it's not him, it is everything that they've done since right. Before he was elected that has divided this country.
Amen, sister.
It's their fault, and it's so aggravating and so scary that they are that slick and have gotten away with so much. And then my second thing is, I wonder if Trump would be, if it would be okay and appropriate for him to want Burisma to be investigated, if that wouldn't have been a big deal, except for the fact that Biden is an opponent of his. Like, if he, like, why couldn't he just be investigating Burisma and the corruption in Ukraine?
Well, I think the more relevant question is, why wouldn't that fall into the bailiwick of the Attorney General or the DOJ?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. 95% of the donations from people who worked for DOJ during the last campaign went to Hillary Clinton. What am I thinking?
Right.
And look up the constituent agencies of DOJ. And then consider what Chuck Schumer told President Trump in January of 2017 about basically, you don't want to tick off the intelligence agencies because they've got six ways to Sunday to get back at you.
Yep, but, you know, and they just keep pushing the issue that the reason Trump did this was because it would be a benefit to himself in the campaign, but maybe not. I mean, why doesn't anybody go that route?
Like, I want nothing from Ukraine. I want them to do the right thing. We know that's what he said. It's corroborated.
Absolutely.
And funny you mention this, because we're going to replay some of that audio from yesterday that I think is very relevant to this whole topic of where the United States is heading. Because that's the big picture here, folks. The big picture is, where is this nation we love and for which so many of your sons and daughters have died? Where is it heading? And Nancy, I'm grateful to hear from you, and enjoy yourself on the rest of the drive home.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to get into some audio from yesterday that I think is necessary background for your calls moving on. If you have a thought on what you believe the future of this land is going to be, you've got a choice. You can call now and grab a line at 803-0930, star 930, or 1-800-616-WBEN. Or you can wait until I start playing the audio from yesterday that I want to play to reset the show for those who got out of work at 5 or 5:30, and then I'll get right to telephone calls, hopefully bang, 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 boom, boom, boom for you on News Radio 930 WBEN. Oh, yeah, I got to put a shout-out to Vinny's girlfriend, I met a guy named Vinny last night, 74 years old, built like a tank at Creekview. Had a very nice conversation with Vinny, who said, my girlfriend is just going to be so pleased that we had a chance to have a drink together. So hello to Vinny's girlfriend. All right, Phil, excellent choice, my man. Excellent. The Police. Yeah, I'm not supposed to say that because somebody on the text board doesn't like it when I talk about the...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
That I've got friends in law enforcement. I also have friends, a lot of them who are lawyers, a lot of them who are doctors, and most of my friends are in the local music community. So, I mean, it just, you know, birds of a feather. Well, wait, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a doctor, but I don't know. I mean, what can I say? I like people. The best part of the last 7 or 8 years is realizing that I like people. Maybe not Phil, but generally speaking, I like people. Not that people will always do the right thing by you, but I like them. It is 48 degrees in Buffalo, and I want to play some audio, and to Pat on the cell phone, I hope you will grant me an indulgence to do this. The topic we're doing is, what do you foresee as the future of America? And one of the problems that I see, and I know a lot of people were talking about this on the WBEN Facebook page today, and, you know, some of us were beating up the station kind of bad, which, you know, I work here, and I'm very proud of this radio station, and I'm very proud of everybody I work with, Sandy Beach, Joe Beamer, Tony Caligiuri. Tony Caligiuri has become a very dear friend of mine. I love Rush when I can listen to him. I mean, we have a, you know, we've got a really good crew here at the station, and there is a demarcation line, if you will, between the talk show hosts we have here and the news department we have here. The news is that the target is to be objective, non-opinionated, and non-biased. As a talk show host, my role is to be non-objective and opinionated and biased. And I've tried really hard lately to be a little bit more open-minded to people calling in who may have a differing opinion than my own, because sometimes I've learned from people who have different opinions. But as far as the two Americas of which I speak, something that illustrates, I believe, perfectly what I was discussing yesterday about feeling as though we are living in surreal times together and feeling almost like there is this parallel universe between right and left in this country over the exact same set of words and the exact same set of circumstances. It is not any better exemplified than by what happened yesterday with respect to the House impeachment inquiry and what happened there, as well as what happened afterwards with the president. Now, I don't know where you went for news this morning or where you went for news last night, but I would be willing to bet my last Paula's cannoli donut. And Desmond, I know I still owe you a 12-pack of cannoli donuts. I'll get to it, my friend. My friend Desmond Brown really wants the Paula's Cannoli Donuts. I'm working on it, pal. So anyway, wait, am I allowed to mention I have a friend named Desmond? Okay. Now, consider this exchange, which happened yesterday at the impeachment inquiry into President Trump, okay? And you are going to hear the voice of a Republican congressman from Ohio who is, I guess you'd say, cross-examining, or maybe the best word, proper word, would be questioning Gordon Sondland, who has gone from, you know, hero to zero, I guess. But this is Congressman Jim Jordan from the state of Ohio. And no matter where you went in the media today, I'll bet you that the headline was along the lines of Ambassador confirms quid pro quo Trump deal with Ukraine. But let's just listen to this exchange and listen to the words of the congressman and then listen to the answers from Ambassador Sondland.
When did President Zelensky announce that the investigation was going to happen? On page 14, you said this. Was there a quid pro quo? Today's your opening statement. As I testified previously, with regard to a requested White House call, White House meeting, the answer is yes, that there needed to be a public statement from President Zelensky. When the chairman asked you about the security assistance dollars, you said there needed to be a public announcement from Zelensky. So I'm asking you a simple question. When did that happen?
Never did.
Never did. They got the call July 25th. They got the meeting, not in the White House, but in New York on September 25th. They got the money on September 11th. When did the meeting happen again?
Never did.
You don't know who was in the meeting?
Which meeting are you referring to?
The meeting that never happened. Who was in it? You know how Zelensky announced it? Did he tweet it? Did he do a press statement? Did he do a press conference? You know how that happened? I mean, you got all three of them wrong. They get the call, they get the meeting, they get the money. It's not 2 plus 2, it's 0 for 3. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. And you told Mr. Castor that the president never told you that the announcement had to happen to get anything. In fact, he didn't just not tell you that. He explicitly said the opposite. The gentleman from Texas just read it. You said to the president of the United States, what do you want from Ukraine? The president, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to do what he ran on. What did he run on, Ambassador Sondland?
Transparency.
And dealing with corruption, right?
That's right.
Mr. Castor raised another important point. Why didn't you put that statement in your opening statement? I think you said you couldn't fit it in. Is that right?
This is huge.
You said we might be here for 46 minutes instead of 45 minutes.
It wasn't purposeful, trust me.
Wasn't purposeful?
No.
Couldn't fit it in a 23-page opener. The most important statement about the subject matter at hand, the president of the United States in a direct conversation with you about the issue at hand, and the president says, let me read it one more time. What do you want from Ukraine, Mr. President? I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want this new guy, brand new guy in politics, his party just took over. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to run on and do what he ran on, which is deal with corruption. And you can't find time to fit that in a 23-page opening statement. You know what a quid pro quo is?
I do.
This for that, right? Looks to me like Ukraine got that three times, and we didn't do anything. Or excuse me, they didn't have to do anything. I've never seen anything like that. And this is when the call came out. Y'all remember this? When the call came out, everyone said we're gonna quid pro quo. There's going to be that was what was in the call. And of course, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Remember what the complaint said? Remember what the memo said of the whistleblower? This call was frightening. This call was scary. All those things. None of that materialized. None of that materialized.
Jim Jordan subjecting Ambassador Sondland to withering and yet very logical questioning, points which were brought home by President Trump yesterday afternoon. And as you listen to this audio and consider the audio I just played from the actual House meeting, ask yourself, wait a minute, is that what I saw reported last night on the news? Is that what I read on a whatever website or whatever newspaper? Because this is a lot different than confirms quid pro quo.
I'm going to go very quickly, just a quick comment on what's going on in terms of testimony with Ambassador Sondland. And I just noticed one thing, and I would say that means it's all over. What do you want from Ukraine? He asks me, screaming. What do you want from Ukraine? I keep hearing all these different ideas and theories. This is Ambassador Sondland speaking to me. Just happened. To which I turned off the television. What do you want from Ukraine? I keep hearing all these different ideas and theories. What do you want? What do you want? It was a very short and abrupt conversation that he had with me. They said he was not in a good mood. I'm always in a good mood. I don't know what that is. He just said, now he's talking about what my response. So he's going, what do you want? What do you want? I hear all these theories. What do you want? Right? And now, here's my response that he gave, just gave. Ready? You have the cameras rolling? I want nothing. That's what I want from Ukraine. That's what I said. I want nothing. I said it twice. So he goes, he asked me the question, what do you want? I keep hearing all these things. What do you want? He finally gets me. I don't know him very well. I have not spoken to him much. This is not a man I know well. Seems like a nice guy, though. But I don't know him well. He was with other candidates. He actually supported other candidates. Not me. Came in late. But here's my response. Now, if you weren't fake news, you'd cover it properly. I say to the ambassador in response, I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky, President Zelensky, to do the right thing. So here's my answer. I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing. Then he says, this is the final word from the President of the United States. I want nothing. Thank you, folks. Have a good time. I'm going to Texas.
And let's just say that you were sitting on a jury, all right, and you heard the testimony of Ambassador Sondland under the questioning of Jim Jordan. Would the fact that in a lengthy deposition, the main underlying theme of the alleged crime was somehow left out, wouldn't that bother you a little bit? Because I reckon if I was sitting on a jury, I'd have some real questions as to what the witness had to say, given what was left out of the deposition. And after hearing that audio, maybe some of you who heard reports last night or who read news stories this morning about Sondland confirms quid pro quo, Donald Trump guilty as sin, you may, not necessarily, but you may have a differing point of view having actually heard first ear what actually transpired. And again, I will cite that audio and the reporting on that exchange as an example of this parallel universe and this surrealism that we are living through together. One set of facts, yet two totally different interpretations. And our theme today has been with the impeachment stuff in the background. What do you foresee as the future of our great country? And you can be on the right. You can be on the left. I'm interested in knowing where you see things heading. Here is Pat on a cell phone. It's Pat on WBEN.
Tom, I suspect we'll continue to be divided because we can't even agree on what is said. I just listened to Jim Jordan, and you have a different perspective, I guess, because I heard Jim Jordan ask Ambassador Sondland, you didn't include that in your opening statement because you didn't see it as purposeful. And Sondland replies, yes, that's right. perhaps it wasn't purposeful, for the same reason that if I asked somebody to murder my wife today and they went to the police and I found out they went to the police and I called them and said, I don't want you to murder my wife, the police wouldn't say, you know what? It was just a joke. He didn't really mean it. Oh, and it's after, of course, the plot was found out. I mean, the president's statement there came 12 days after the whistleblower complaint, 7 days after the Wall Street Journal, and 4 days after Gordon Sondland was texted by Ambassador Taylor saying, are we really going to predicate defense assistance on a domestic political agenda? So don't reasonable people say, wow, all of these statements came after he was found out? And I don't support impeachment, by the way. I should tell you that. I think we should just let it go down to the election.
You see, you have your take on the same audio to which we just listened and the implications of the audio to which we just listened than do I. My take, as I said earlier, is that when you know something is the most important part of a deposition you are going to give, and depositions are given under oath, it seems to me that they would be included and not excluded. And it's almost like selective amnesia. That's the way I take it.
I think he's a terrible witness for both of them. But let me ask you something, as somebody who demonstrates common sense,
That's debatable.
But if I ask somebody to murder my wife, and then I found out that he went to the police, and I suddenly called him and said, don't murder my wife, do you think the police would take me seriously when I said, I really didn't, when I gave him that money, when I told him to go ahead and here's where she lives and here's where she bowls? I was only joking.
I am not a lawyer, but I'm sure that if I were to look up the proper statute in New York Penal Code, I'm pretty sure there'd be something that would cover exactly what you said. I am out of time. Sure. I am so sorry. I'm out of time when it comes to talking to folks on the phone, not meaning to hang up with you out of any frustration, angst, or anxiety. It's just that we have a finite period of time here on WBEN. We're tonight at 8 o'clock. You've got football. Colts at the Texans, 8 o'clock. Don't know about the chances there'll be a foot brawl, but we'll see.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.